Hey, tonight I wanted to talk about a reproducible pattern that we have seen the last 10 years here in marriages, and how simple it is, but how we will follow that pattern, we will move towards oneness in our marriage. And so oftentimes life really is about observable patterns. And it, I mean, there's just things, people that are around certain industries or certain venues for a period of time, they just pick up on patterns, and they can tell you exactly how things are going to go from there because of what they've seen in the past. And so one time I was talking to a guy who traded options on the CBOE, and he talked to Chicago Board of Options Exchange, and he just told me how he didn't trade a lot, but he just waited for a few things to line up. And how that was a pattern he had observed. And so, and when he would trade just around those one little set of circumstances, he would always make money. And so he had observed a pattern. He had seen it. It was just a cash machine for him. I think about guys who've been around in coaching a long time, and how quickly they can spot talent. You know, they walk out into a field of kids, and they can tell you immediately who's got a bright future. One time in college, I was helping coach a large high school in Oklahoma, and I remember there was two kids that were there. They were sophomores that year, and the coaching staff was they were swooning over these kids, and they kind of really, to be honest, had kind of given them special treatment and things like that, and it was really really frustrating to me. And so I would ride these kids hard, really, really hard, point out all their failures. And I honestly didn't think they were that good. Well, I couldn't have been more wrong. Both of those kids ended up going to the University of Oklahoma. One of them was, all Big 12 conference athlete, kind of in year in, year out. And the other one spent several years in the NFL. And so as a rookie coach, I didn't see what these guys, these salty dogs, had seen and these kids, but they knew. They knew immediately these kids had promise because they'd been around and seen it so often. And so with marriage, that is something I've been around quite a bit the last 10 years. And I used to think marriage was really, really complicated. And I would get, cow to people with multiple PhDs and research under their belt. And I've come to see that marriage is difficult, but it's not complicated. It really is. Marriage is difficult. 1 Corinthians 7:28, those who marry will have trouble. I believe that more now than I did 10 years ago, but it's not that complicated. And as we rewind the clock and just kind of reverse engineer all the couples that have gotten well around here the last few years, there's four things that always will show up in their story. And so I just thought, just for a few minutes tonight, we'd go over those, just kind of the start of the new year. Now, what are four things, kind of four decisions, I think we would say, that we've seen couples make that have led to oneness in their marriage? Now, the actions that come out of these four decisions, they're all different, but four decisions that couples make that when we'll sit on celebration night and we'll look back at some of you that have made a lot of progress, these four things will show up. Or couples that are leading and reengage and came here multiple years ago, you know, on the teetering on divorce, these four things show up. And so you can think tonight, hey, which one of these do I need to take ground in? What would that look like? And where do I need to grow? And I will tell you, these are not, they're not complicated. They are difficult, but they're not complicated. So what are the four characteristics of couples that get well? One, is that they have a renewed spiritual vitality. And so couples that, have come through, a pretty tough phase in their marriage and now are at a great place, just about every single time they will have had, kind of a renewed spiritual vitality. Verses like John 15:5, abiding in Christ is abiding in Him, and He abiding in us. This idea that we are that Christ is the vine, and we're the branches. And if we stay closely connected to Christ, the actual fruit of Christ will come out in us. And the things that God wants, that we will want, the ways that God would act, we would act, the way God would love and serve, we end up doing. And so not just about knowing about God, but actually loving Him. That always will show up for couples that have gotten well. And so I just ask you tonight, hey, what would it look like for you to grow in your relationship with Christ? And for some of us, it's not to know anything more. It's just to obey. And all the things that He's been kind of showing us the last couple weeks, couple months, couple years, just to obey. Just do that. That's how we really know if we love God is whether we're obeying. Okay, when couples that get well, they always have a spiritual vitality. The second thing is, they always see themselves as their biggest marriage problem. They always see themselves as their biggest marriage problem. The metaphor that we use here is that we draw a circle around ourselves. If we want to work on our marriage, we want to fix our marriage, we draw a circle around ourselves and fix everyone inside the circle. It's the only person we have complete control over is ourselves. And it's really the only starting place that makes any sense and that God would have us give our energies to. Matthew 7, 3 through 5 tells us to get the log out of our own eye. We see so clearly our spouse's faults, and Christ would call us to get the log out of our own eye. And even I was thinking, even over the holidays, how just attuned I was both to Pam's or my family's faults, and how I just gave myself a free pass over and over and over again. Right? It's called the fundamental error of attribution. Right? So if you've got if you do something wrong, you know, I think it's a character issue for you. If it's me, it's just circumstantial. Right? So if I'm late, I just got hung up at the office. But if you're late, you know, if my wife's late, golly, it's a character issue. She's always late. All those kind of things. And so we tend to really hone in on our spouse's faults, focus there, rather than starting on ourselves. And I noticed over and over again, just little small tweaks throughout the holidays when I just said, I'm not even going to worry about Pam or my kids or my brother or my mom or anything like that. I'm focused on me, how the quality of the relationship took off, in the next hour as I focused in on me. And for many of us, we are wearing ourselves out trying to change the person that we're sitting next to. And there's great freedom and great just joy and comfort working on ourselves, putting our heads down at night and going, God, I worked on me. Now, I might be going to bed next to crazy, but me, I think I honored you and I worked on me. And it's a good way to go to bed at night, okay? yeah, so just be more attuned with our own junk than our spouses. And I always just, I always think about if I had to write a novel or write a book on, Pam's faults, I could write substantial, words and volumes and subsets. And if it was me, about the problems that I cause in our marriage, it'd be just an interesting little pamphlet, because I'm not as aware. And that always, when we see couples that get well, they always go, yeah, the volume, the three volume set, it's me. We could talk about them if you want, but I'm the problem. And I'm going to get the log out of my own eye, and I'm going to spend my energies doing that. And that pattern shows up over and over and over again. Not just couples that have come through difficult circumstances, but couples that just continue to do well and pursue oneness, okay? So I'd ask you tonight, do you see yourself as the biggest marriage problem? And if not, that'll be a real growth area for you this year. Third, is that they're ruthlessly committed to their marriage. And see this idea in Matthew 19:6, that it is God who's joined us together, and therefore we're not to separate. Is there a sense that we chose our spouse? Yeah, sure. We were attracted. There was something about them that we found intriguing, and we asked them if they would, and they said that they did, and we had something to do with that. But at the core, God has joined us together. And it's a covenant that he has joined us in that's not to be separated. And when couples start tinkering with that, and when they start to love each other because of and not in spite of or until rather than regardless of, then things get messed up and we don't pursue oneness. We don't start with the fundamental premise that I'm married to you till the end. I will not separate. I don't really care what you do. I don't care what you say, what you don't say or do or give me. I'm committed to you. And when we do that, it really frees us up. It frees our best energies not to monitor how they're doing, monitor what could be. It frees us to pour our energies into thinking about what will be 20 years from now. And the metaphor that we use is that oftentimes it's like we stand in a room And there's multiple doors that are open there. One door that we could walk out of the room through would be obviously a physical affair. And so we could choose to exit the relationship and walk out one of those doors being a physical affair. Another one would be an emotional affair. We could still stay married and not have sex with anybody else or not have any physical contact, but emotionally let ourselves go towards someone else or some other thing. We could overwork. We could give our best energies and heart to something else, not someone else. Or we could just kind of say, you know what, I'm going to stay here in this room with you mostly, but I'm just kind of here living in an undivorced state, but I'm not actually going to invest in this relationship. And so as long as all those doors or any of those doors are open, we won't find ourselves giving ourselves fully to our marriage. We'll always be walking in and out of those doors or wondering what it would be like to exit one of those. And it's not until we walk to each one of those doors and lock them, shut, and throw away the key that we actually experience the real freedom to love our spouse and be loved in that way. And so as long as commitment is optional, I just don't think we'll ever experience the oneness that God has for us. And there's a great study the University of Chicago did years ago. And what they did was they found all these couples that were in a pretty bad spot. Just took down their information and got back together with them a few years later. So some of them had gone through marriage counseling, some of them hadn't, some of them read books, some of them had been to conferences and seminars. Many of them had gotten a divorce. So they went and tried to figure out what was the difference between the couples that got divorced and the couples that didn't. What was the determining factors? Because if they could figure that out, obviously they could sell a lot of books and, you know, make a lot of money, right? It's America. We want to help people So they ask all the questions, and much to their chagrin, the only common denominator that they could find was that these couples, all of them, somewhere along the way, decided to commit to their marriage. Even if they didn't have the answers, they said, "We're going to commit to our marriage," and they figured out the answers along the way. And so for many of us, we're not fully committed to our marriage, and we haven't found the answers yet, or we're hoping they'll just somehow we'll stumble upon them. And I would just submit to you tonight that I don't know that they will. I don't know that we'll come to blinding insights until we've fully given ourselves to our marriage and fully committed and see our spouse as someone that God has joined us together with, that we're not supposed to separate. And when that's the starting place, I think a lot of the blinders come off and we figure out what it would look like, what we need to do to be married 20 years from now. Okay? So they're ruthlessly committed to their marriage. And number four, that they're fully known by others. And so sometimes we've seen couples actually get well in isolation. We've seen couples just kind of go through those first three. Their walk with God just takes off. They begin to work on themselves. They commit to their marriage, and there's nobody else in the picture. There's no circle of friends. We've seen that happen. What we rarely see happen is someone continue to move towards oneness in their marriage without that circle of friends. And so whether that's a cause or not, it's something that shows up over and over and over again in couples that continue to get well and continue to move towards oneness, okay? And so I would just, you know, throw verses out there like Hebrews 10:24, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And we can do that with our spouse, but that works really, really well in a circle. When we've got other friends who are both for us, and will encourage us along the way, as 1 Thessalonians 5:14 tells us they should, but also that aren't afraid to admonish us and will tell us, hey, we love you, we're for you, but here's the truth about who you are. Here's the truth about what you're doing. Here's the truth about what you're doing to undermine your marriage. We love you enough, we're not going anywhere. We're not going to run for the exits when you tell us what's really going on, but you need to know. You need to know what it's really like to be you and to be with you. And to, if we've just kind of been around you, there's some things that don't honor God in the way you treat your spouse or the way that, you treat other folks. Okay. So those are always characteristics, of couples that get well. They're fully known by others. And so this will happen. Some of you guys are winding down and you still have yet to be honest, about what's going on, in your marriage. And it's really tragic, and I can't scream at you, I can't make you, I can't come to your house and make you confess to your group, but I just don't know why you wouldn't. And so whether these will be your friends for the rest of your life, I don't know. But this is really good practice about just kind of being honest with others, about just repenting, about asking for forgiveness in front of others, about placing yourself under their authority and asking people, hey, what would you do in this situation? What guidance would you give us? What wisdom would you give us? This is a really, really, really fertile ground that you could take advantage of, okay? And I'd really encourage you to do so. Don't miss this opportunity to be fully known by others, okay? So there you go, guys. 10 years of marriage ministry in about 7 minutes, okay? As you can tell, I'm very stopped up, so I can't even track with myself up here tonight, and I don't know if you're able to, but these four things are deceptively simple. They're hard to do, but I will tell you that every time we see this, we see couples move towards oneness. So, a renewed spiritual vitality. How are you in your relationship with Christ? Okay, are you pursuing Christ? Do you love God more today than you did yesterday, this year than last? What does it look like in the way that you're obeying Him? Do you see yourself as the biggest marriage problem? Are you really committed to your marriage? Like, unequivocally committed. See yourself married in 20 years to this person. And then four, are you fully known by others? Do people really know what's going on? Have you given them the right to both encourage and admonish you and help you along the way? Okay, if you do those things, if you'll make those four decisions, the what that happens as a result will be different for every single couple in this room. Every single couple will be completely different. But where you end up, the trajectory will be the same. You'll find yourselves moving towards oneness in your marriage. I guarantee it. I've just seen it over and over and over again. Okay, and that's our hope and our prayer for you in 2013. So it's going to be a great year. I wanted to go quick, purposely. History tells us that after a 2-week break and holidays and travel, that there's often lots to talk about in our small groups. And so I wanted to make sure that you guys had plenty of time to do that. Okay.